He's with us as we talk about this very strange storyline of this E. coli strain. This is a weird one. This one hit me really fast when I first heard about it. It's getting stranger now. How about you?
I agree, George. Thanks for having me on. It's a bizarre mutant, and I suspect strongly it's a laboratory creation. It's too much evidence that suggests that, and not enough evidence that suggests anything else.
Well, that's true. And apparently three people who had been to Germany might have this strain. They're here in the United States now. This is not contagious, is it?
Well, I think that we can expect it. If it's spreading like this in Europe, I expect it to come to the United States, because that's the agenda, number one. I mean, we've been told over and over again, with transportation being as it is, flights a couple hours from Europe to the United States, we're expected to see these kinds of things. And again, the suspicious nature of it, again, it started allegedly in Africa, and then it spread all of a sudden to Germany to begin. Now, how do you get this kind of a virus coming from Africa to Germany and then just exploding there, as you mentioned during the introduction, where it's affecting now about 1,800 people or so, with about a third, and that is what's stunning about it, a third of those people are having kidney problems and potential kidney failure. That is very, very, I'm very uncomfortable about that. The matter of it also being hemorrhagic in nature is highly suspicious, especially since, you know, you had Ebola that was supposedly generated in Africa, whereby in the book Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola, I showed you definitively it came from Litton Bionetics Labs in Africa. They were testing in there and then brought it to the United States. I expect that this is probably going to come here. I wouldn't necessarily bank on it, but it's a high likelihood.
Now, you said earlier, virus, they're calling it a bacteria. If it's a virus, Len, we got a real problem.
Well, again, it's an E. coli. It's a different strain of E. coli that they've seen. But again, when you're looking at hemorrhagic genetics, you know, you suddenly take an E. coli that originally you have the enteroaggressive or aggregative E. coli. It's called EAEC. And then you now have suddenly a brand new species that has never been seen before virtually. It's an enterohemorrhagic. And now you think about hemorrhagic. Well, there's Ebola, hemorrhagic fever viruses. You know, you take the genetics from that and you put it into bacteria, which is what they typically do. It's called a phage, P-H-A-G-E, and whereby they take kind of like the bacteria envelope and they infuse it with the genes from viruses, and then they inject it into various species, and of course they test it out, and then they have various strains of now E. coli. By the way, E. coli is your basic typical laboratory bacteria, which is used specifically for these purposes. You literally create biological weapons that way, and that's what this looks like. This looks like a mutation where there's a recombination that was done in a lab, whereby you have the enzymes that are produced causing hemorrhaging within the colon, and you have now this very aggressive type of strain, similar in a sense to what Ebola does. It causes a liquefaction of the tissues itself. That's from enzymes. Essentially, the enzymes are produced by the bacteria, in this case, the hemorrhagic strain of E. coli. And then you've got a systemic infection that is, as you've mentioned, it's very aggressive, and the kidney toxicity levels are really horrific, if that's the case. I question the numbers at this point. I mean, to state this early that a third of the people who get this disease are going to have kidney complications, that's an outrageously high number.
Sure is.
And so it may be because, again, a lot of this nonsense is typically involved in manipulating various industries, in this case, the food industry. And, I mean, we should talk about the agenda globally and the economy and how this plays into infectious diseases and plagues, because no plague in ever, you know, major plague in history has ever come without major socio-political and economic upheaval. And this, in essence, again, when you consider that background and then the globalist agenda, of course, the globalists, you're including the food giants, the agri giants and the cartels that are controlling the food supplies. And then you begin to think about their depopulation agenda. These people are heavily, and the corporations now are concerned, because as we, the people, now have less money, we have less food supplies, we're highly stressed, we're susceptible more to disease, but at the same time, we are expected to revolt. And that revolutionary risk is something that prompts depopulation policies. And that's what this seems to me to smack of. It's a brand new thing, never seen it before.
Just pops up all of a sudden.
Yeah. And so nothing makes sense except that it fits the agenda. And that's what's frightening most. It wouldn't surprise me, given all of the toxicity, the manners in which we the people are being hideously intoxicated. Chemtrail sprays to food toxins to dehydration, and you're looking at all of this in the context of depopulation, then you begin to say, holy smoke, we are at risk. And the best thing you do, and my recommendation, of course, is to take OxySilver to prevent this kind of bug to be taking over your system. I love it. I swear by it. We take it ourselves, and that's my recommendation.
Len, the Chinese laboratory said that this is a combination of two types of E. coli. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out that if two combinations are combining, and we haven't seen this happen ever before, somebody had to have done this.
Well, that's exactly part of the point. Again, I laugh. I actually do laugh. I mean, it's sick, and I've got to maintain something.
This is not laugh, ha ha. Right.
Yeah, no, it's nauseating. But when you consider what the scientists are saying, that there is a horizontal leap, and that means that you go from one species to another in a natural environment. So the concept of this horizontally leaping from one human being in Africa to suddenly hundreds, if not thousands, of people in Europe, in Germany particularly. Germany, don't forget, is the home, it's virtually the heart of not only the globalist agenda, where you've got the Rothschild League of banksters controlling virtually everything, including the Rockefellers and the American J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs cartel, directing Wall Street and the White House. But you've got the major biological weapons labs and the major vaccination laboratories operating in Germany. They have for centuries. This is the main place where this kind of new strains emerge. Don't forget, again, we're talking about hemorrhagic fever type of symptoms here and enzymes here. The first Ebola was called Marburg, and that broke out in Germany, Frankfurt, and Belgrade, Yugoslavia, in vaccine production facilities, where Litton Bionetics labs that created a number of AIDS-like viruses just at the precise time that this whole AIDS pandemic erupted was exactly when they shipped the chimpanzees to the Merck Pharmaceutical Company to be used to develop the first hepatitis B vaccines given to gay men in New York City, the Willowbrook State School mentally retarded children on Staten Island in New York, yes, and, of course, the blacks in Central Africa.